Excuse me. Well, on this feast day, Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, there are two different responses that come to mind here in the Philippines and gathering with devout people. This kind of feast gives us a lot of joy, and it comes naturally to honor Our Lady, our Mother. It's a deep part of the culture to pray the Rosary and to have respect for the Rosary. I even know people who are named Rosario because named after the Rosary, or named after Our Lady of the Rosary. Is that how you got your name, Rose? Rosie? Are you named after Our Lady of the Rosary? Rosie. Anyway, I mean, it kind of comes naturally to people who are raised in a Catholic culture understand a feast day like this, and it's for Saturday, so devotion to Our Lady comes naturally. But you know, I'm sure you all know very well, that the opposite reaction is also quite common, and it's very strong among people who don't have Catholic roots. And they hear about devotion to Our Lady, and they say, well, what's that? What good is that? Why are you complicating your relationship with Jesus? Why are you putting Mary in the way of Jesus? And when it comes to the Rosary, this objection becomes even stronger because people say, well, what's that? Just saying the same thing over and over again, just empty repetition, babbling like the pagans, what's that? And so you see this growing dichotomy among Christians. I'm not talking about people who don't have any faith. I'm talking about Christians who believe in the Word, who love Jesus, and understand the necessity of prayer. But some people just love and understand Mary, and some people just don't. I remember reading the great English author C.S. Lewis. He has a great work explaining the basics of Christianity. Mere Christianity is the name of the book. And in that book, he very deliberately avoids saying anything about the Blessed Virgin Mary. And somewhere in the book, he explains why. He says, it should be obvious why. Here I am trying to explain the basics of Christianity. And when you get to this point, Mary, all it does is divide the Christians. On the Catholic side, people are so warmly and strongly devoted to her that if you say anything against her, it's like insulting someone's mother. It's like picking a fight to insult someone's mother. If you want to make someone angry, insult his mother. You might get punched in the face. But on the side of the Protestants, if you bring up Mary, all it does is raise objections. And it just seems like an unnecessary complication, if not worse, if not an idolatry. So what do we do with this? Usually, the attempt to try to explain why Marian devotion makes sense doesn't get very far. The theology of it is very clear, but it's just hard to convince people. And if you read the stories of people who have come through this objection, people who've been raised in evangelical cultures or families or who were not Catholic and who were attracted to the Catholic faith, you know what happens is they have this big objection to Mary, and then eventually they say, well, you know, I'm just going to let go. I'm just going to allow the faith of the church to guide me, and I'm going to give it a try. And then they discover, oh my goodness, this really is a treasure. But they weren't convinced by theological argumentation. Like C.S. Lewis, who is a very high-powered intellectual, he never got it. He never became Catholic. He never understood, really, the role of Mary. Not really. For all his gifts and all his beautiful works, he never got this part. But if people can put their trust in God, understand that God established a church, that Jesus founded a church that preserves the fullness of the faith, and can yield to the devotional spirit of the church, then they can discover the greatness of this Marian devotion, and especially of the Rosary. And I think part of the explanation for that is found in today's Gospel. Today's gospel is simply the gospel for Saturday of the 26th week. It's not chosen especially for Our Lady of the Rosary. We have the option of using some other gospel readings today. We could have taken a more Marian reading. But this reading, I think, helps us understand the power of the Rosary. This is also an example of how Father Francis taught us that the liturgy, the daily liturgy, is constantly teaching us, and what we have to do is ponder the word of the liturgy, just like we ponder the mysteries of the Rosary, and we will be led. So here in this gospel, the 72 disciples whom Jesus sent out to proclaim the kingdom and to heal, they come back. So we heard about them being sent out about 2 or 3 days ago, and now they come back, and they're rejoicing that their ministry has been so fruitful, and even the demons are obeying them in the name of Jesus. And they come back saying, wow, this is great. Now we can do great work. Now we have a great mission. And now we have a reason for rejoicing. And Jesus, in his response, says, okay, yes, Satan is driven out. And I have given you a share in this power over this powerful enemy. Yes, but, and this is interesting, nevertheless, he says, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So don't rejoice because of your exercise of power. Rejoice because of God's power favoring you. Your name is written in heaven. You are treasured by God. And then Jesus himself rejoices, as if he's saying, I'm telling you what to rejoice about, I also rejoice. He rejoiced in the Holy Spirit, and he says, I praise you, Father. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, the one who has all the power. For although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. And this is where we can get an insight into the power of the Rosary. The Rosary looks very, very simple. It does not appeal to the wise and the learned because there's no complications to it. It is. It's just a couple of prayers, and one of them is repeated many times. It's a very childlike prayer. But here Jesus says, what you have hidden, Lord, what you have hidden from the learned and the clever, the wise and the learned, you have revealed to the childlike. And what this tells us is there's a level at which we have to be childlike if we want to appreciate the ways of God, if we want to understand what God hides from the intellectual world, the world of human capability and strength, power. No, God's power is the power that we rejoice in. And for us to be instruments of that power, we have to be willing to be childlike. And this is what we do in the Rosary. In the Rosary, we let go of figuring things out, and we let go of our time, and we let go of the idea that we should be accomplishing things ourselves, and we say, Mary, pray for us. Pray for us, sinners. Mary, we honor you. You're the mother of the Savior. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. It's like placing ourselves into the embrace of our mother and asking her to take care of things. And it works. It works. Whether we can figure that out or not isn't that important, because Mary knows what she's doing, and Mary's whole focus is on the Lord, and he certainly knows what he's doing. So no problem once we have ourselves in the arms of Mary, because she always brings us to Jesus, and Jesus is the Savior. This is not revealed to those who will insist too much on understanding how it works. It's revealed to those who are childlike. So what we do on this feast day is we recall and we celebrate this, you could say, technique, this prayer method, which makes us childlike. And even the biggest intellectual and the greatest theologian can benefit from praying this prayer. That's, I love St. John Paul II. He loved the rosary, St. John Paul II. And this guy has two PhDs. He speaks, 20 languages. He's a genius. He loves the rosary, right? Because he can be childlike. He can ponder the mysteries and let God's power seep into him and work through him. The only way to really convince someone of this is to say, just try it out. Just try it out. Just try to pray the rosary. Ponder the mysteries. It's not just repeating prayers. No. It's a pondering prayer. It's a childlike acceptance of the ways of God. Let God be in charge of you. Let Mary guide you to Jesus. Let that happen, and then you'll discover the power of it. But if you think you have a better way, it won't make any sense, and it will seem like a lot of empty words. Now, one more thing about this. Usually in Anuin, we emphasize the pondering quality of the rosary because we're called to ponder the word. And our pondering of the word is enhanced by our pondering of the mysteries. In fact, it's the same, just two different forms of the same process. So that's usually our emphasis. But on this feast day, we recall that the date, October 7, is chosen because through the prayer of the rosary, a great naval battle was won against all odds, the Battle of Lepanto. You know the story probably of the history of the Battle of Lepanto, where the Christian forces were outnumbered and it seemed were facing defeat. They entrusted themselves to Our Lady of the Rosary, and they won. So, is that a childlike thing to do? Yes. But it's also a powerful weapon. And this feast day reminds us, yes, the rosary is a pondering prayer, but it's also a weapon. It's a weapon, a spiritual weapon, a powerful one. Now, we're not focused in our times with defeating naval forces. In fact, we're not so worried about defeating anybody in the human sense. We're entering into a spiritual battle, and the rosary is one great weapon for the spiritual battle. And I think we should know there are a lot of spiritual enemies and a lot of spiritual problems that are way beyond us, our power, and way beyond our capability of understanding them. Too complex and too involved and too large. So, okay, let's use this spiritual weapon to fight this battle. Pope Francis, along with practically all the popes going way back, has encouraged us to pray the rosary for peace. The war that's troubling the Europeans and pretty much the world is the war in Ukraine. And Pope Francis has said here in this month of October, in the month of the rosary, pray the rosary for the end of that war in Ukraine, for peace. Now, an intellectual would say, or a wise, learned person would say, what difference does my sitting here in the Philippines praying the Hail Mary over and over again, what can that possibly have to do with soldiers fighting in Ukraine? Well, that's a good question, except that it's not really the point. That places us in the middle, as if we have to know how this powerful instrument actually works. No. Children don't ask that. If you say to a child, pray for peace in the world, they say, okay. Okay. Lord, grant peace to the world. Simple. Very simple. Lord, grant peace to the world. Mary, pray for us sinners. Pray for us sinners. There's sinners here. I'm a sinner. We're sinners. There's sinners in Ukraine and in Russia. Mary, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. So today's just a day to recall the greatness of the rosary and rededicate ourselves to using this pondering prayer, which is also a great weapon. We ask Mary to intercede for us, intercede for our community, intercede for those who are dying, intercede for those who are battling, intercede for peace in the world, intercede for families. Mary is a great intercessor, and we join her in praying when we pray the rosary.